Krista, you can come up, and the Fosters and the Ox. The Ox is better looking, better half, is not here today, unfortunately. But these guys, just quickly, they came back this week from Brazil. And they're actually going to take it from here, so with us. But I just wanted for you guys to see these guys offered up about 2 weeks of their lives, own expenses, everything. Said, God, we want to go into the nations and just see what you do, and just to see them and the stories that they're going to carry this morning, and what God did in their lives and in others' lives, and then we're gonna see where it takes us from there. But so these folks, I think Tam, you're going to go first. So yeah, Tam's going to share first. If you guys, you can sit and relax. And Tam's going to shoot first, but I just wanted to, so Tammy, Mike and Tammy, that's so this is the better looking, better half of him. So, but I'm just excited. Are we excited about this couple? Like, these guys are just to see what God has done in their hearts and then their lives and where they come from and where they are now. It's like, God, you are absolutely amazing. Just the love poured over them that the Lord did, and what they, how they've responded for me is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. So, yeah. So, but Tam, you go first, and then we'll introduce Mike and the rest of the guys.
Morning, everybody. I think to start, we've been planning to go to Brazil for quite a few months now. So, we had like a long prayer list up front, kind of knew exactly what we wanted to pray for, and just to help hear what God wanted us to do when we went to Brazil. So, we knew it was going to be good, but it was amazing. Really blown away and excited, and so excited to come back and share with you guys what happened to us. I could talk for hours and hours, but I'll just run through a few points and then hand over to the guys. I think to start, we went a few days earlier. We took our surfing stuff just to get in a few days rest before, you know, really moving into the outreach and the equip camp and everything. So I just want to mention how God really blessed us and looked after us in just the small little things, just the travel mercies and stuff that we requested. He just, even small things that happened with our rental vehicle that got slightly damaged from the surfboards, and God just blessed us, and yeah, we didn't have to pay any extra money. As you know, they have your credit card details when you rent a car, so we were just fortunate in those things. Also, the guys, I think, driving on the opposite side of the road. I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but it's pretty scary. So God just protected us there as well. We stayed in some really cool little A&B places. We went to a beautiful little island called Ilhabela and stayed in this antique house that must have been 100 years old. And then Mike somehow managed to throw a coconut in the air, and it went straight through the roof of the house. And there was this huge hole in the house, and we were sitting there like shell-shocked. I don't know how he managed to get that right and what he was thinking at the time. But, somehow we went outside and we investigated, and there were like just tiles lying around, and he managed to get on the roof and just take off the tiles and replace them, and it was like as if nothing happened. So I just wanted, I just really felt like just the little things, God really protected us. And even when we went back to Sao Paulo and we just staying with our hosts and stuff and all of the logistics, just everything just ran so smoothly. It was really amazing. Another cool part was the Saturday, the first day of the outreach, where we kind of got together with all the teams and that. We went to go do a street evangelism, which we've never done before, so it was a bit scary going to the station and then meeting up all the other guys from the Isle of Man and South Africa. And it was just amazing how, like, if you give God the opportunity to show you and to work through you, how he'll just make things happen. All you need to do is have the faith. And yeah, it was just so cool. We got into little groups of like four or five, and we went cruising the streets, and literally I think it was 9 out of 10 people that we asked to pray for and that we asked to speak to and stuff, They just all allowed us the opportunity. And, I mean, we stopped at a food caravan, and the guys were literally lining up to get prayed for and to be ministered. And, yeah, so that was really cool. And, yeah, I think one of the next points that really stuck out for me was the outpouring of the gifts. And it was something that actually spoke on quite a lot, especially at the Equip conference at the end. But I just feel throughout the trip, like even when we were in the home groups with the guys and just the church services and that and the camp at the end, your God just, you know, opened up the heavens and poured out the gifts on everybody. There was gifts of, speaking in tongues, the prophesying, guys being healed and set free. It was, we expected miracles, but it just happened and just continued throughout the trip. So even for us, for my husband and for Mike and for myself, like this is the first time that, I managed to start seeing pictures that God made clear to me. That was really, really cool. And just even the last Sunday morning of the camp, I woke up in the morning just from a dream that I'd had where I was asking God, I just need confirmation. I just want to make sure. And he just said so loud and clearly to me, "Here I am." And just those three words it just gave me such a peace and comfort in my heart and just knew we were in the right place and that we'd gone there. And, he really just filled our cups to the brim. And then I just want to finish off with just one of the pictures that I saw, which I thought was really cool, was it was just a teapot and tea bags being dunked in the boiling water, which I felt was, us as the saints going out and we're gonna get burnt and it's gonna be uncomfortable and difficult. But just being dunked in that water and the message of God being spread and then just poured into the cups and being poured out into the nations. So I just, if any of you guys are thinking of going or have it on your heart, just come and speak to us and we'll just tell you all about it. It was really, really cool.
Well done. Well done. Thanks, Tam. So, and just quickly wanted to also just mention, you remember last week we didn't have a normal church service like this. And the week before that, our youth actually took the service. And they shared their testimonies. And so Mike and Stace, they actually got saved at one of those youth services. And I thought this morning, like, are you kidding me? While that other service was on, these guys were on an outreach 4 or 5 years later serving Jesus in the nations. Like, how amazing is that, what God can do? And even though this morning we're going to hear some more testimonies, Chris is going to come up next, I want you guys just to see what God is doing in us, in all of us, from these young ladies, guys, all the way up to, where's Uncle John? Uncle John. So just see what God is doing as you hear and listen to what the Lord is doing. Come on, come stand a little bit forward. I know Tammy was hiding away at the back, but you can share, so go for it, Krista.
Morning, everyone. I just came back yesterday, so I'm slightly a bit jet lagged still, but I'm going to try to stay awake. It's strange talking now, not pausing after a few words and waiting for the Portuguese translation to come. So that was quite difficult in the beginning to get used to that, but after a while you kind of learn some Portuguese in between as well, and you kind of get the translation. There's so many things that I actually want to share, but I'm going to just share three points that God showed me that I need to share today. The first thing was, like Tammy mentioned, the first day we went on the street evangelism, and we also had a youth gathering that's like the teens and the young adults that all came together. And that was the first day that we actually met the rest of the South African team and the Isle of Man and some of the Brazilians as well. But within a few hours that we've been together, God knitted our hearts so quickly that it felt like we've known each other for years. And the way that you could have actually been so close is having the same spirit. We could give words together, we could evangelize together, and the only way was through the same spirit. Because there's no way that me and someone from the Isle of Man can give the same word to someone that I haven't even spoken to each other yet, because there's no like preach or anything that we could have heard together and it's stuck in our minds. That's just the Holy Spirit that gave that to us. So that's something that really stood out, like how the team was so closely knitted and God chose every single person in that team from South Africa, from Isle of Man, and from the Brazilians to come together for this specific year. Not for a different year, but for this year we had to be together. So that was really special. And then the second thing, so this year, or the first Sunday that we were there, were their first PM service. So they now split into an AM and a PM service, and that's huge for them. So they were actually now growing and praying in new elders. It was really a huge thing for them. But also with that, they were so happy, but also so sad because they're so close as a family that now they're splitting in two. So they really felt like, okay, they're losing some of their family that's going to a different congregation. So that was really tough for them. But on the Thursday, we had life groups. So that's our, like our comm groups that we had with them. It was supposed to start at 8 o'clock. I think we started at 9:30. So that was just Brazilian time. But it was awesome. Everyone waited for everyone to get there, but they didn't start until everyone was there. But beforehand, we were just chatting to the guy that was leading the community, and he told us that that group specifically was really, the hearts were really heavy on splitting into two, that they are all going to the PM service, and they were really sad about that, and they needed some encouragement. And all we were five from South Africa that was there in that life group that day. We all were in different congregations, and some of them have been in different congregations, moving from congregation to congregation. And for myself, like, I live with my sister, and we do everything together, but she's in Sunningdale, and I'm in Malkbos. So I could share just a story on how I decided to be in Malkbos congregation and how God led me to be here. And how that actually made our relationship stronger, as well as make the church stronger. Because I could share what I get here, I can share with her, and she can share what she gets from Sunningdale, she can share with me. So I was able to share that with them. And then afterwards, there was a lady that came to me and said that that's exactly how she feels. She's got a sister that's so close to her, they do everything together, but they've now split into the two congregations. So that was just really encouraging for her that there's actually God as a reason for them splitting into two congregations. So they were all very encouraged with that, so that was really cool. And God told me this year that this year is the year I need to go to Brazil. So that was also something really special to me, that this was the year, even though it was the year that they split into two congregations, that they wanted us to be at that, at the outreach. So it was really special. So if you ever wonder if you need to go or not go, go. If it's to Brazil or Kimberley or Dunoon or wherever it is, go. You don't even hesitate. You've got family in Brazil. You've got family wherever you need to go that you need to go meet. They're already there waiting for you to meet. And then the third thing that I want to share, the third last one, is that when Malkbos splits into AM and PM, not if, but when, that we feel the same that they felt now. That they're so happy that they split into two, that they're building and planting, but in the same way, so sad because they're so close to each other. That our hearts are so knitted together that we feel sad, but also happy, if it makes sense. That we've got mixed feelings on that. Yeah, that's me.
So just again, like what God's doing, you know, taking someone from Malkbos, of all places, to Brazil, for even if it is for that one lady to hear that, you know what, God's got you on his heart. And he knows what you're going through. And he'll send someone like Krista to go and share that message. Isn't that amazing? Yes, God's so amazing. So, Mike. Ooh, okay. Mike's took his shoes off. He's read about Moses and the holy fire. So I hope you guys are ready. But, yeah, no, I'm just... I can't actually go.
It's really good to be back and to see all your faces. Excuse me if I'm pausing, but when you testify or you speak in Brazil, you get interpreted, so you kind of stop and pause in between. I think I was most excited getting back was to flush the toilet paper down the toilet. It was such a small thing, but when you're in Brazil, it's quite difficult to, but you get used to it. I think my experience in the beginning was one with, I didn't go with much expectation. I thought I'll just let the Holy Spirit use me as a servant, as a saint. I didn't want any or entrusted in any gifts or anything. And then we had this amazing little holiday where we ventured up to Rio and surfed, and that was great. And then we got back for the week where we started meeting with the gringos, which is the a whole lot of guys from Isle of Man and around South Africa, and we met in the shopping center, and they all needed to go get SIM cards. We'd already been for a week, so we had our SIM cards, and it's literally 20, 30 people going through like a RICO process, and you're standing in a mall that is so busy, and it's just, excuse me. And I felt Satan come, and he was just nailing me. From there, I really, really battled. I was doubting why I was there. I saw people pray very powerful, and I was almost envy, like, why can't I pray like that? And I really felt this struggle with God. And it was a Wednesday night. We were at a service. It was a public holiday in Brazil. And they asked us to group in groups of four and get together and pray. And so the first thing I did was look around for the shy guys and the guys that were quite newly saved. So they're walking. So I thought, okay, I'm going to sneak around here. And I eventually found three guys. And when I blinked, there was JP standing next to me. Now, for you that for the guys that don't know who JP is, he was just sworn in as an elder. His father's Ronaldo that heads up the station 337. And we all said our little prayers, and the next minute he started praying, and then I thought, whoa, this guy prays on another level. There's so much passion behind him, and I thought, what am I going to do now? He just grabbed me aside at the end of it, and he took me aside, and he said, I've got a vision for you. Do you mind if I share it with you? I said, no, shoot. And he said he saw me with armor on, with a helmet and a sword, and Jesus was standing next to me with a wet towel, and he wanted to wash me with the Holy Spirit, but I'm fighting. And I was like, oh my word, this is amazing. How did this just happen? And he says it's basically the message that he wanted to come across. He says it's not in the fight for God, it's in the rest in Jesus that you'll experience his power. And then things changed around completely. We had our first community and the Brazilians give everything. I mean, they got very little. Their houses are tiny. If you ever moan about the space of your place and hosting, go to Brazil. It will humble you. 20 square meters, 15, 18 people praying, and you feel God's presence strongly. So we had a young lady there with a single mother, and we were praying over her, and I got my first vision. I didn't ask for it. It just came. I think the next day I got my second vision. And then on a Sunday morning at service, I got my third vision. I didn't know what they mean and why they came, but they were there. And I actually stood up and I shared with at Brazil, which was very cool. And just on the whole, things before we went to Brazil, if you think you got financial problems, I have a business that's busy crashing. I didn't think I could afford to go. Everything stacked up. I was so busy that I didn't really entrust God for much when I went, and I still was provided, God still provided me with so much gifts, not just the gift of vision, but bonding with people. I can go to Edgemead, I can go to Kimberley, I can go to any congregation in South Africa, and I've got family, and the same in Brazil. So the bonding is a beautiful gift that God gives, and you only really experience it when you go on an international outreach. So all the things stacking up, if you've got those doubts, that's actually the time you should go. And you'll be blessed abundantly. If you're searching for the presence of God, go on an international outreach. Even if you're not looking for it, it's around you all the time. And one of the most powerful messages I got was from Angelo. And when he preaches, he looks like a dwarf, but like an angry dwarf. But he's very powerful. So when he brings on the message, he goes, and then he looks at you, and then you're like, wait. And he preached on building a church for the presence of God. And you really feel this when you go overseas and do outreaches with different nations. Thank you.
So it seems like I'm preparing a whole sermon here. I'm not. After that, it feels like I should sit down. But just as we got back, we got the opportunity to just see Hannes and Mariska before they went. And I should have thought about this, but I briefly shared. You know, he asked me to share, what was current in my life. What did the Lord do on the outreach and things like that? And I should have seen it coming, but he then said, "Wow, that's amazing, bro. Do you feel like you could share that on Sunday?" I was like, "Oh, goodness. Okay, I should have seen that coming." But yeah, it's a privilege. It's absolute privilege. I've missed you guys. I really, really have missed you guys. It feels like this is home. As much as we've got friends around the world, as Mike was just sharing, it really does feel like home here. And there's a knitting of hearts here, the guys that you are really in fellowship with. So yeah, it's awesome to be home. I haven't backslidden. Okay, it was 2 weeks. I actually worked out. I haven't been here for 8 weeks, purely because my boss sent me to China, so half of his fault. And then so that was almost 2 weeks, and then the outreach. So just the timing of things. It was a bit crazy, but it was a privilege. So it's awesome to be back. One of the things that I'll just kick off with, we were standing in the airport just about to come back home, and it was myself, Tammy, Mike, and Stace, and Brett Bevan. He was on the same flight, and we got to hang out with him quite a bit. He's such a legend. He really, really is such a good guy. And in hanging out with him, we were kind of in the line just about to board the plane, and there was a gentleman in front of us, and they were asking questions. It was amazing, actually, the opportunity. I think Will Murray calls it a captive audience. That you can't go anywhere. You got to get onto the plane, so that there's so much opportunity to build with people and to speak to people. So one of the things that we were doing was I was just kind of lending an ear to what Brett was saying to the guys and how he started conversation and just learning. And there was a guy just in front of Brett who asked, what have you been doing in Brazil? And Brett just kind of said, "Oh no, we've actually been working into some churches, and it's really been amazing just seeing what the Lord's doing across the board, throughout the world. We're part of this church in South Africa, and it's awesome to see what he's doing here in Brazil too." And so this guy says, "Oh, that's amazing. I'm a Christian too. I go to this church. I won't mention names." And he said, that's so cool that you guys came all the way here. Is it your full-time job?" And we got to share with him, "No, it's actually not. This is something that we've given ourselves to." And he was just astonished. And one of the things he mentioned was that in the church, he just finds that there's no reverence for when the person is standing up front. Not Brett, this is the guy that we were talking to, an Indian fellow. And he said, "There's no reverence for the word of God. I think when the preacher's up here, you should be dead silent." And something just popped in my heart and was like, well, actually, I maybe should have asked Brett if I could say it first, but something that we experienced in Brazil and we've experienced here is that it's so amazing when you get a response from the people that you're speaking to. It really is so cool. So they've got this thing in Brazil where they say, "Whoa," like that. Okay, so it's not amen, because as Grant said, no, that's actually it's almost like you're bringing things to a close. It's whoa. Okay, it's almost like I've just realized what you've said. So I'm getting excited about that, and I'm here, I'm actually in the crowd, I'm a part of you. So I think if there is something we can take away, I really want us to encourage us with that. Yeah, you can say hallelujah too, they say that. Was that you, Mike? You can tell. All right. So if I think to Brazil, and if I could sum it up in one kind of scripture, actually. I didn't give you this one, Murph, but it's actually from Acts 2. We know the scripture so well, and that's why I'm not going to start with the first two verses. I'm going to start from 44. "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all in need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received the food with glad and generous hearts." Now, for those who have been to Brazil, Sandri, who else was I speaking to? JJ. They will know that they receive the food with thanksgiving in their hearts. Okay, they're all about the food. They love their food. So that was a massive thing that they bonded around. So that was, it really spoke to me. Anyway, they received received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And you could see it. They really are living it out there. They are, as you will know, just even, I think, that part of the world. But specifically what I saw in Brazil was that they have family, and then they have family. And I think the Station 337 is pretty much made up of a lot of the Pacheco family, which is a big name in Brazil. But you can see how they just bring others in. It really is something that they've done so well, is you never feel like you're on the outskirts. There's constant, almost get the picture of like a mother hen kind of gathering everyone in. And you can see that the Lord, just by their hearts, how they're drawing people in, and the Lord is saving people like never before. We stood at the camp. They had to open up a last-minute venue for us. We actually had to move out the day that we were staying there at the camp venue because there were just so many people. It really was such a picture of them lowering like in the Bible where they lowered that guy down on the bed into the thing just to get close to Jesus. There were guys standing outside the camp venue looking in the windows. So it really is. There's such a hunger for the Lord. And I looked at this thing just now, I think this is massive for us too. Just heading into this season. I'm not going by my notes here. But if you look at that salvation, right at the end, it says fish. And I think at the end of, before we left here, we were talking about mended nets. So I think that's a key for us, for that thing. Going into this season, to stay hot and ready as a net to be able to catch those fish. Let's go back to my notes. So I felt the Lord, when I shared with Hannes, I was kind of sharing more testimony-related stuff, and Hannes said, no, don't worry, the other guys, they'll pick up on that stuff. They'll share about the food and the travel and the week before and all that. He said, just share what the Lord's done in your heart, which is an interesting one, because it's amazing how the Lord reveals things, even though you don't know that they're there, you know? It wasn't like it was something on the surface, it was something deep. And what I want to try and do is, as I said to Barnes earlier, when it's my testimony, you can't take away what the Lord's done in my life, but I want to try and bring you guys in, which is almost like a bit of a sneaky move, so I'm sorry for that. That's when you say, whoa. Yeah. So the main aim this morning is to challenge our heart, and what motivates us, what's motivating us to do what we do. Because I think this was I actually shared before with Tammy that this was something that the Lord laid on my heart long before we even went for Brazil. And I thought, you know, in my, experience of international outreach, I thought, man, this is a word that the Lord's bringing. Lord, just give me a time to share it. And it was obviously not that. Murph, you can put up that 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. And this verse, I think we've seen more in probably finance teachings, but it was something that as we kind of lived it out in Brazil now, it was something that the Lord really spoke to me with. And it was just around giving and the heart that we have towards giving. I think that's such a massive thing for us as we serve within a body, to know the heart behind why we actually give. So the one thing I want to pick up on, it was actually three things in this verse. I'm going to pick it apart a bit. Is each one must give as he has decided in his mind. Or each one to give as he has decided in his heart, as far as I know, actually. Up in his mind. Okay, cool. I'll pick up on that now. Mine says heart for some reason. Is that ESV? Okay. Each one must give as he decided in his mind. We'll stick with that one. For each one to give... To decide to give as he has decided. That's the version I've got here. It might not be ESV. He needs to decide to give. I think that's a big thing for us, is that it's a conscious decision. It's not something that always will flow naturally. I think in our walk with the Lord, we will see over time that it becomes a thing that we do. But in the beginning, it's definitely a decision that we need to make. And then to know that it's the heart behind actually giving. I think sometimes, like in this verse, it says in our mind, but it needs to be a heart thing too, because I think we often, like for me, I internalize a lot of things, and I want to know why. I want to know why. Like, why does this work? How does it work? And the actual heart behind it is, actually, Lord, I want you, however that looks. I want you. I don't have to be right. I just want God. And that was definitely something the Lord did in me. So to backtrack slightly on that, with regards to giving, I felt to just touch on the time factor, something the Brazilians do really well, and it also can become a weakness, is that they give of their time so easily. You never feel like you're interrupting them. You never feel like you are unwelcomed or you're taking of their time. They give of themselves. They give of their time so easily. And I really want to encourage us with that, is to not be clock watchers. I think so often, sometimes we leave worship, Ari said this morning, let's just linger here 5 more seconds. And sometimes that's all the Lord needs. He just needs that 5 seconds. So to not be clock watchers. To hear, just to pick up on the youth again quickly, to hear that you had a service go down with the youth, man, I want to honor you guys, actually. Like you did, it made me, like, there was a little bit of envy there that I had to deal with. I was like, man, this is where we've given like 4 years of our life to this, you know, and the most incredible youth service happens when we're gone. And I think it was obviously for a reason, but it really encouraged us. It really, really did. I got to miss out on the camp too, which was like, that's the highlight of my year when it comes to youth. So, that was somewhere that when we got saved, Stace and I got saved a few days back, 4 years, and we spent our anniversary with Brett on his anniversary, so it was a bit of a third wheel thing, but it was okay. He digged it. He's weird like that. So, so that was somewhere where Hannes came along and he said, hey, this is an opportunity to give your time. I really feel for you and Stace to be able to serve in the youth. And we were like, at that stage, I just wanted to clap any kid that was my age, I knew, or that was going through the same stage that I was, purely on the basis because I knew where certain decisions led, and I didn't have the patience for that at that time. Lucky that's a fruit of the Spirit, and the Lord's dealing with that. So it's been an absolute privilege helping out with the youth and serving alongside Ardian and the rest of the team. So for that kind of thing with the youth, man, it's somewhere that we gave our time, and even though we weren't here to see it on this Sunday, it was an absolute privilege to hear about it, and it actually boosted us even while we were over there. the Lord challenged us just in the, where it says in that scripture, decided in his mind, or heart. Lord challenged us before we went, a long time before we went, actually soon after we got saved, the Lord challenged us with regards to getting out of debt, which was a massive thing. I won't share long on this because I think I've shared it before. But we recently came to the conclusion that to get out of debt, we need to forego a car. We need to sell this car. So for us, it was Stace travels. I'm blessed in the fact that I live what, 5 minutes from work. I can skate there, walk there if I really have to. So the one car needed to go. And we've been trusting to go to Brazil on an outreach for like 3 years. So I'll be lying if I said it wasn't hard to watch other guys go. It really was in our hearts from day one. There was an instance where I remember all of us standing outside there praying for Zandri to go and really having to, like, if I'm honest, I had to, like, push in. I was like, sheesh, okay, Lord, you send Zandri this time, I'm going next time. You know, that was the heart motive behind it. And, it was a real struggle, I must say. We watched for 3 years, we watched guys go, but the Lord said, pay off your debts, then you can be free. And that's what we did. It was 3 years of hard work, and last year we paid the car, settled debts, and we felt that it was a year to go to Brazil, which was exciting for us. And as Krista said, it was an awesome year to go and just actually watch the split and help them with that and encourage where we needed to. So the heart behind the finances, I think... It was a tough one because we had in our mind, we had kind of made up the thought, well, we'll sell the car, settle half the debt, and the rest of that car we'll start building on towards another car. Well, the Lord had other plans, and that other car, he actually dropped to my heart. He said, that other car actually got you a lot further than a different car could get you. As in, we went overseas, and we went to a Brazil outreach, which was amazing for us. So, although we don't have that to build off, we have a lot more to build off, and we've been poured back into spiritually far more than we could look for financially. So, to give of our time and to give of our finances, and our heart behind that again, it was one of the highlights for me was actually on the Equip camp. The last part of that verse is still up there. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. And we sat there the last day. It was quite tiring. As I said, I was in China before, then to go to Brazil, then we had a little week's break. Most of it we spent surfing. And so there wasn't much rest. And you get on the camp and you full tilt. Like there's something going all the time with the team. When it came to one of the last days, there was an opportunity where typical Brett started speaking on the gifts on the last day, and we're like, jeepers, okay, this is a topic. But the guys were hungry. They were really hungry, a lot more than I was at that stage, I will honestly admit. And he started speaking on the gifts, and it was awesome to see Mike and Tammy just moving, and actually the whole rest of the team. I said to Krista, she can't come home and stay in the back seat anymore. She's got to be in prayer meeting and doing all the rest of the stuff. Whoa, that's not like it. So it was so cool seeing the rest of the team. But the Lord challenged me on the last day, sitting in the seat, and it was really nice. We almost knew. We almost had that going home feeling. And the Lord challenged me. He said, there's someone here that I want to speak in tongues or move forward in the things that I have for them. And they're struggling with this thing. And then if that wasn't enough, Brett said from the front, I think we need to pray for the gift of tongues. And I thought, oh, here we go. Okay, Lord, show me the person. And I looked behind me, and clearly, just felt that there was the man in the back. And he was the biggest, hairiest Brazilian dude, most closed off. Like if crossed arms could cross their arms, he was that guy. He was just standing, you know. So everything inside of me, especially the way I was feeling, was like, Lord, are you kidding me? Like this guy? And you could see he didn't speak a word of English. Like it was like, geez, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to minister to this guy. And anyway, as I was faithful to go, not knowing until I got to the guy what the heck I was going to say or how I was going to say it, one of the guys that we know really well came and he was interpreting, and I felt the Lord just give me a picture straight away of how, as I began to pray for him, the Lord gave me a picture of him pushing on this guy's chest, but to the point where it actually winded him. It actually, and he lost all his air. And as he breathed in again, the Lord filled him. And actually, he began to speak in tongues. And I shared that with him. You could see in the translation of things, he was kind of trying to work out what it all meant. If I received a word like that, I'd probably also try to work out what the heck it meant. But it was incredible because this guy, he opened himself up. He didn't get out the chair. He did uncross his arms, which was great. So we knew we were getting somewhere. Even the hands went out slightly. So that was like, yes, Lord, okay, something's happening. And it was just incredible to see that, in his hunger for it, he'd been fighting this thing apparently longer than anyone in the congregation, didn't believe the Holy Spirit was real. And he ended up coming to the front. We prayed for him there. Next thing, boom, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, hits the deck, wakes up a couple minutes later. He says, I couldn't stand up at the back. I wasn't doing it on purpose. I couldn't stand up at the back because my back was, it was messed. I have to, guys to help me get out and whatever. He says, that's completely healed. I get filled with the Holy Spirit and I can speak in tongues and not gugugaga, like proficiently. Like he's actually speaking full on in tongues. And he just wept in front of the church and you could see it just broke open something for them. And it was just incredible, I think, for me, just in the whole reluctantly or under compulsion. I think when we give of ourselves, we give of our time, our finances, and even when we don't feel like it, I think that's where it gives the Lord the most room to move. Right? It really does. It breaks something open because we're no longer relying on our own strength. I think it was a great thing for the interpreters because you can't pray like you normally pray. You can, but the guy can't keep up. So it's no longer in our own strength. It really is. You have to rely on the Lord, which is the biggest thing. So if I can kind of wrap it up, we're called to live a life of faith. And something that was really displayed by the guys over there was that they live a life of faith. They don't live a Sunday of faith. They don't live a Wednesday of faith. They live a life. And it feels like when you come in there, that you're really brought under their wing, and they do life together. And they've devoted themselves to something. And I really think there's a lesson in that for us, just for how we devote ourselves, why we devote ourselves, how we give of our time, finances, and how we do things when we really don't feel like doing it. It's something that the Lord ministered to me personally in, the why factor, because it is easy just to go through the motions, even though I hate doing that kind of thing. But it was, again, just the, it was almost like a, just that fire was lit again. And I want to see that within our church too. So yeah, the fire. I think there's crazy things happening within our body at the moment. Just to hear of the guys, elders and deacons weekend away, the youth service before that, this guy coming out of nowhere and spending time with Andrew and Hannes getting a lunch with him. I mean, it's incredible stuff. And for us to go into this next season of Christmas and all the time where we actually, it's all about giving, I think it's great for us to just take something of it and realize the heart behind what we, why we do what we do, and to remember those fish, and to live the life of faith. I think that's what's, I would say what was burning on my heart. Yeah.